All right, so again, welcome back. You guys have sounded like you had a lovely time with your discussion groups tonight. I think we could have gone on for a few more minutes, but we'll help with all that, and we'll all go out for coffee afterwards, okay? Or pancakes or something, you know. A couple of quick reminders. The book club, don't forget, if you're planning on coming to that, this Saturday at my house, we'd love to have you there. And the announcement about that from earlier, and go grab it off the welcome table. It's right there for you.
Is there a sign-up sheet?
All the information you need is right here.
Thank you.
And then the final coffee talk of the summer is this coming up Monday, next Monday. And then we'll be on break until the end of September. I'll see you in September, right? We're going to sing that together. And at the end of September, we have quite a break. Chance for all of the leaders to recharge and get ready and for me to prepare our study for the next year. But we are going to go out with a really special gathering next Monday and Tuesday, of course, for our Tuesday group. But I want to encourage you to invite your friends to be there. If the schedule has been challenging this summer and they've missed some, maybe this would be a great one to say, you really need to come back. This is going to be really special. So this coming up Monday, we'll have a slightly different format. We'll have some time together in our groups. We'll have a breakout. But we will be doing something as a whole group together that I think will really continue to grow us together in the Lord and to improve our fellowship together as well. Is it just me or is it echoing every time I talk? Does the speaker echo funny? It does. I know. I'm going to fix this. Hold on. There we go. Let me introduce Teresa to you. A couple quick things about her favorites. She loves coffee. Who are the coffee lovers out here? She loves coffee and gardening, interior decorating, and sewing. So give anything you need to, she'd love that. She's into water aerobics, going on ocean and mountain trips. Her favorite colors are turquoise and red. There's a little bit of turquoise going on there with you tonight. She enjoys, now, the way she wrote it here is that she likes spaghetti steak. Oh. I'm assuming she meant, I like spaghetti.
Sometimes.
And other times I like steak. But I'm just going to read what she wrote, and she wrote spaghetti steak. It's a cultural thing. I'm not going to judge. Maybe it's part of her story, and I didn't want to give it away, but I might have said too much already. She feels a little awkward about her spaghetti steak fetish that she has. But thank you for sharing. So, and then she likes chocolate cake, I'm assuming, and or snowballs.
Oh, I love those.
Yeah. Oh, those Hostess snowballs?
Yeah, yes.
I love that. So she is recently retired from L.A. County, where she worked for 37 years in a variety of positions. Her primary role was an administrative supervisor. She's very efficient at that, telling people what to do and where to go. In a nice way. And now that she's retired, she enjoys being home, being involved in women's ministry. We've appreciated your involvement in that as well. Her greatest joy is spending time with her family and friends. She's been married for 31 years. David is her husband. You'll see them both here at church on Sundays. And throughout her Christian walk, she's been faithful to involve herself in children's ministry, prayer groups, singles, married couples. Our story, we found out, goes way back to a prior church that I had an involvement with over at Olive Branch. So it was fun to reconnect with that as we were getting to know each other a few weeks ago. So she is going to be sharing her beautiful story with us today. And let's welcome Teresa Hestis.
Anything that needs to
I
be.
I want to be able to make sure I can see first, because with my glasses I can see, without them sometimes I can't. So anyway, as Jennifer said, my name is Teresa Mestis. My husband and I have been coming here for about a year and a half. We were at another church, but we moved on. I've been a Christian for 36 years. I was saved in 1981, married for 31 years. I have four sons and three daughter-in-laws and six grandchildren.
Wow.
Basically, growing up as a young girl, my religious background was, I was a Catholic, and I made my first communion and confirmation, and so I knew God, maybe not intimately, but I did know Him, and I did know the importance of prayer, but as far as really knowing Him, I don't really think I did. From the time I can remember, I would always pray. Both my parents were present in my life. I had two brothers and two sisters, and I was the second of the oldest. As a child, I felt so much happiness. Life was exciting. my mom was very caring and nurturing, and so she taught me and my sisters how to sew. And so we would spend hours sewing, making dresses for our dolls and for our Barbie dolls. And so that was a very exciting time in my life. One thing I just want to add real quick is, Jennifer, I got you beat on the bell bottoms. I know she shared that in her testimony, that her mom made bell bottoms, and so mine is beat because I had to make my own bell bottoms. That's how good my sewing became, because I really developed a skill for sewing, so I actually made my own bell bottoms.
That's
kind of a little thing there that I was going to share about Jennifer and her testimony when she shared that. But and some of you ladies, I know you're kind of closer to my age. I'm older than Jennifer, so do you know what fashion came out in 1964?
Mini skirts.
Mini skirt, and what went with that?
The bathing suit.
Remember the shoe, the shoe.
Oh, the wedges.
The go-go boots. So anyway, 1964, I was 11 years old, and I was sewing my own dresses. I made a mini skirt, but it was a real mini, and I had my white go-go boots on.
Oh,
and I went to school, and at the time when I was in school, the grades were from kindergarten to 12th grade. It was a small school, so all the grades were there. So I remember these older girls coming up to me, because I remember I was small and they were 12, so they must have been in high school. So they came up to me, and right away they said, "Where did you get that dress? I mean, I looked good. I had my mini dress on, I had my white boots on, and, you know, I was looking good." And so they wanted to know where I got that dress. And I was so embarrassed to say that I made it. Just like Jennifer, she didn't want anyone to know that, you know, some of her outfits were made. So I, you know, told them that my mom had made the dress. So I couldn't confess that, oh, I made it. I was embarrassed at that time. But anyway, I want to share a little bit about my dad. My dad was a hard worker, but he loved being outdoors. So growing up, I could remember we spent a lot of time fishing, we were camping, we just did all sorts of outdoor things. And so it was a very, very wonderful time. I remember my dad was so daring that there was one place where we used to go to the ocean, and in order to get down there, because it was all rocks, we had to literally climb down a cliff. So I remember us little, you know, climbing down. By the time we got down there, our butts were all dirty and our shoes were all dirty. And I remember this one experience where my grandmother had went, and she wasn't really that old at that time. She was probably in her 50s. But I remember him taking a rope and hoisting her down the cliff in order to get to the rocks and, you know, the tide pools. And we would spend hours there, and my dad would go diving and get abalone with my uncle, and, you know, we would just have a wonderful time. But as I grew older, things started to change. My parents didn't seem so happy anymore. They were always arguing. Sometimes something was wrong with my mom, and I didn't understand what that was. I started to feel sad and always worried about her. I started to lose touch with my friends from school. I was still probably in about junior high at that time. We stopped sewing and having our crafts. You see, my mom was becoming an alcoholic. My parents, we were always doing things with our relatives, our cousins, our aunts and uncles. And at that young age, I guess I didn't realize, but my parents, they loved drinking, and my family members loved doing that too. So my mother was becoming an alcoholic. Worry and overwhelming fear of what might happen to her increased. I couldn't focus on my schoolwork. As a result, I internalized my feelings and isolated myself from life. My teenage years were lonely and confused. I tried hard to stop my mom from drinking, but her drinking only became worse. I became her shadow. I loved my mom so much and worried about her. Everywhere she went, I went. I feared that something would happen to her. Imagine just being a young girl and, you know, having to have that worry. There would be times when I'd come home from school and then she would be, you know, basically maybe passed out. And I would come in and I would start cleaning and getting things ready so that
when my dad came home, he would think that she had, you know, taken care of the house and got everything in order, so, you know, he would be happy. But actually, it was me. I was the oldest daughter. My sisters were a lot younger, so I would make sure the house was cleaned and everything was in order. She started during that, actually, let me just pause here for a minute. During that time, my oldest brother was in high school, and he started drinking and doing drugs. He was becoming an alcoholic, too. And later on, I found out at the age of 10 years old, he used to take my mom's drinks. Maybe they would have company, and she'd have her drink on the table, and he would sneak in and take her drink and drink it so that she wouldn't be drinking so much. So my oldest brother was becoming an alcoholic, too. And during that time, I started praying, and the only praying I knew how was to say the Our Father. That's what I was taught in Catholic church, and so I would pray the Our Father, and I would ask the Lord for help. By this time, I was starting high school, and I think there was maybe a little break there. My mom was trying to stop drinking, but you know, it would be okay for a while, and then it wouldn't. So anyway, I started high school, and I met a boy, and I was, you know, 16 at the time, and my parents were very strict with me. So I remember one day getting ready early in the morning. Everyone was still sleeping, and I got up early, got dressed, and I literally snuck out the window to go meet him at school. Well, what happened was my mom came into the bedroom, I guess later that morning, and she didn't see me there. So she panicked, and she thought that I had been gone all night. So what happened was my parents were very strict at that time, so they felt that, worried maybe that I would possibly get pregnant because I was sneaking around. So I found out later when my parents got married, my mom was pregnant of my brother, so they basically had to get married, but I think they really, really loved each other, so eventually they would have gotten married anyway. But I think because of that, the fear of their you know, oldest daughter getting pregnant, they discussed this with my aunt, who was very involved in our lives also, and they arranged a wedding, a marriage for me. So at the age of 17, I was married. I wasn't pregnant, but they thought that this would be the best thing for me rather than, you know, ending up pregnant. So although my parents arranged the marriage, I know that they were very sad about it and, you know, me leaving the home. I guess by getting married, I felt that my life would be better and that I could get away from all that was going on at our home. So after a short time of being married to my husband, he became very controlling. He was very abusive, and I couldn't go anywhere. He, you know, told me what to wear. He was a womanizer. He started at that time. He started drinking and doing drugs. So I was in a very bad situation at that time. And here I thought, oh wow, you know, I'm getting away from that, and you know, I'm going to have my own life now. But I didn't have a life. I was isolated. I had no friends. I wanted to go back to school, when he didn't allow me to go to school. So I was in a bad situation. So anyway, I became pregnant about 3 months after being married, and so I had my first son, Eric. Time went on and things just got worse. During this time, my younger brother, well, I was married, and like I said, I had my son, Eric, and at home, you know, with my parents and everything going on there, my younger brother, he was 3 years younger than I, he was diagnosed with cancer at the age of 15. So my parents were going through that tragedy and, you know, me going through my issues with my marriage, so I couldn't say anything to them about the problems that I was having. Everything, they never knew about it. I kept it a total secret to them because of what they were going through. So my brother, who was diagnosed with the cancer, he died 11 months later. And he went through chemo, he went through all the treatments, but
in those days, I guess it wasn't doing like the effects that it has now, so he did die 11 months later. So at that time, my mom was trying so hard to stop drinking. She was seeking the Lord. She was going to church. I remember her kind of going up and down, but it's almost like she just gave up on life, though. She wanted a change in her life, but she didn't know how to, you know, have that happen in her life. So she put herself into rehab, and that didn't go well because by then her health had deteriorated. And she had cirrhosis of the liver. So her health was just really, really bad. And so she died 2 years after my brother died. So during that time, my second son, Sean, was born. I was still in my marriage. I was all alone with my two sons. My husband was really hardly ever there. He was always gone doing something, or maybe he was working, but it just seemed like I was alone a lot. I still wasn't allowed to go anywhere. I had no friends, and it just seemed that I just had such an overwhelming feeling of fear in my life. And so during that time, I again started seeking God again. I tried reading the Bible, and I couldn't understand it. So one day I was at home, and an elderly woman came knocking on the door, and she had a Bible with her, and she offered to have a Bible study with me. And so I agreed, and she would come once a week to have a Bible study with me. But she was Jehovah's Witness. And so at that time, I didn't really know the difference between religions and everything. I just knew that I was trying to find answers, trying to find hope. And so she would come, and we would have our Bible study. By this time, my marriage was not doing any better. My husband decided that maybe if we separated for a while, that this would help. So I agreed. I was there by myself for a while, and after a few months, a lady came knocking at my door, and she wanted to tell me that my husband had been living with her all those months that he was gone.
Yeah.
So he really wasn't leaving me to try to better the marriage. He was with another woman. And so, and I think she wanted to tell me this because he was telling her that he was going to come back to me. So she wanted to get back at him. So anyway, what do you think I did that night? It was in the middle of the night when she came to begin with. So in the middle of the night with my two small children, Sean was only probably a year and Eric was like three, I packed them up and took them in the car and I went to her apartment. I wanted to see with my own eyes if this was true or not. And sure enough, I stormed into the front door, and there he was. He had been drinking, so he was not, you know, in such a good mood or anything. So what he did was, when he saw me, he got me, and he started choking me. I mean, just choking me. I mean, I think he was going to kill me, but somehow I got away. And so I was devastated. I didn't know what to do. My sons were watching me through the car window. And there I stood in the middle of that parking lot, and I cried out to the Lord. I was just so lost. I didn't know, you know, what to do. I was still young, too, at that time. So it was just a feeling of just feeling like you wanted to end your life, but yet you have your two little children there. How could you leave them? And so a psalm that I go back and look at that reminds me of that time, and it's Psalm 61, 1 through 2. Hear my cry, O God. Listen to my prayer. From the end of the earth I call to you. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And that's what God was doing. Maybe I didn't see it at the time, but I needed him to lead me to the rock. And I didn't understand it then, but I was crying out to God, and he heard me. I was lost and had no one to turn to, but God was working on my heart. You would think, because my husband had two sons, you'd think that maybe that would cause him to change. Well, it didn't. My husband said that he would never change. In fact, we had a conversation, and he said that he would never change, that he would always be that way. So what he did was he left me. He left me and my two sons. And I was willing to try to work something out with him. Even after all of that, I was still willing, but he didn't want to.
So what I did was I couldn't afford to have that place anymore because he had left. So I had to move back in with my dad. At that time, my dad was by himself, and with my two younger sisters, they were still in high school. So I moved back with my dad and my two sisters. But the Lord was still in control. During this time, I started to do my own thing. But see, I didn't go back to church. I didn't do anything yet. I was still kind of doing my own thing. I was searching for purpose in all the wrong places and people. Even though I cried out to God that day, God still had to take me through some stuff in order to get my full attention. I didn't know I could have a close relationship with him. I still felt alone and very, very sad. Time went on, and I divorced my husband. He had a new relationship and had gotten that woman pregnant, so he had gotten married prior to the divorce. So I did divorce him, and he married her. I remember looking at pictures of myself, and I looked so sad. I never smiled. I never felt any happiness, and so I was just really existing. But God still had his hand on me. A few years passed. I had gone back to school and found a new job. And that's when I started to work for the county in 1979. I was looking for something that had benefits so that I could provide for my sons. I was able to get my own place and like I said, provide for their needs. But I was still very unhappy. And I was still making wrong choices and being in wrong relationships. But I met somebody at work. And I thought this person was the one. I thought he would be somebody that would just take me out of whatever I was feeling, the loss that I felt. By this time, Eric was 10 and Sean was 7. I poured my heart into this relationship, but I was still feeling lost. Not only that, I was taking my sons with me. I was losing my identity. I started to realize that he was so much like my first husband. My God, I was like, Lord, what am I doing? I mean, thinking this. And all of a sudden, a light turned on, thinking, you know what? I'm going back into the same situation. I'm making the same choices that I made before. And not only that, I'm taking my sons with me. I believe that the Lord started to reveal himself to me because of that awareness that I had. Like, what am I doing? I'm doing this again. So, He was opening my eyes to see the darkness in my life. Anyway, time went on, and it was 1981. My younger sister had gotten saved at Calvary Chapel Downey. So she kept inviting me to go, and, you know, I thought about it. I was still in a relationship, but it seemed like the relationship that I was in just kept getting worse, too. So I agreed to go with her. And when I went, the pastor was sharing about feeling lost and alone, how much God loved me and that he died on the cross for me. So that was just a wonderful thing to know that God loved me. I felt his overwhelming love. And a scripture that really meant a lot to me during that time was 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. And I needed healing. I really needed healing, and I needed to come to the Lord and to be forgiven of my sins, because I was sinful too. As I continued to go to church, he gave me the strength to end this relationship. Because I could not have done it on my own. I would have probably stayed in it, but God gave me the strength to end it. He kept me from making the same mistake again. Once I let go of this relationship, he gave me a heart for Jesus. He began to heal me. He took away all my fears and sadness. He revealed himself to me with an everlasting love that no one else could ever feel. And again, another scripture that meant a lot. There were so many, but I just feel that these are so important. Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And yes, God did strengthen me. And he took all that fear away from me. Psalms 27:1, the Lord is the light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?
So he was that light, and he brought salvation to me, and I truly, truly needed it. I was lost and just heading for destruction. As I continued to seek the Lord, he spoke to me through his word and prayer. I spent countless hours reading the Bible. I couldn't wait to be in the Word. The Lord revealed himself to me more and more. Ladies, have you ever felt that, just that overwhelming feeling of wanting to be in his Word and just really spending that time with him? God is so real. And you know what happened during that time I was in the Word? Is that I had a love affair with God's Word. I just loved it. I read all the time. I looked for those times to be alone, and it was just a wonderful, wonderful time. God became everything to me. As I went to church, I developed new friendships. I felt hope for me and my sons. I started to smile. I was involved in ministry. I was involved. I started off with child care. I did Bible studies, group prayer. We even would go out evangelizing in Hollywood. And so I was just really... the Lord just really swooped me up and just let me be just a disciple for him. Everywhere I went, my sons would go with me. And another scripture that was so meaningful to me, and that was Romans 8, 38-39. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And nothing could separate me at that time with God's love for me. He overwhelmed me with his love and his presence. I finally understood what love was and his faithfulness to me. I didn't need to be afraid anymore. He gave me fulfillment, purpose, and joy. I came to a point when I would pray to the Lord. I would say, Lord, if I remain single for the rest of my life, I'll be content just loving you and serving you. And that's exactly the way I felt. I felt so content with the Lord. I continued to serve God. I had fellowship with new friends. I continued to pray, Lord, whatever your will is for me. And ladies, that is so important. Whatever your will is for me, God. And God, I didn't know what God's will was, but I knew that I wanted his will. And so being in church and being in ministry and having my sons there, that was God's will at the time. And I was just so thankful for that. The Lord started to change my heart. By this time, my sons, Eric was 14 and Sean was 11. And so God was doing a new work in my heart, and I had a pastor there that was a blessing to me. And so he would always come by and talk to me and encourage me to go to the singles ministry. And I was like, I don't know if I'm ready for that. But I think at that time when he approached me about it, I was ready. It's because it's different. You have to have a different attitude. And I think God was changing my heart. He was doing a lot of healing concerning relationships, and especially with men. So anyway, I started to get involved in the singles ministry. That was an exciting time for me. Then a new scripture played an important role in my life. Jeremiah 29:11-13. For I know the thoughts I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. The Lord was preparing me for a new relationship. During this time, when I was in the singles and I was going to Bible studies, the Lord brought a spiritual mother to me. And believe it or not, ladies, I'm going to give you her name. Her name was Hester Freeman Christ.
Wow.
Really. She had been a Christian all her life. She was an elderly woman. She was already in her 80s. And the way that I met her, the way that God brought her into my life, was I was at home one day, and I was in the front of my yard. I was washing my car, and I wasn't going to any study. I was home. And I thought, Lord, you know, sometimes I feel like I just have somebody I could talk to real quick, that I don't have to be at my study or be in ministry and just be at home. And I was bending over to get the water hose, and all of a sudden I felt like a little tap on my shoulder. And I turned, and there she was, Hester. She goes, you know, and she's, oh, hi, you know, I'm your neighbor. And I introduced myself, and we just started talking, and we, you know, it was from God. I spent time with her.
She had been, like I said, she had been a Christian all her life, and she was elderly. She didn't drive, so I was able to start taking her to church with me. She wrote beautiful poems. I would go to her apartment, and she would, you know, read these poems to me. And so she had probably, I don't know, maybe like in the 30s and 40s, she had beautiful clothes, like cashmere sweaters, Angora sweaters, wool skirts, the tight ones that were kind of a little bit long. She had all these clothes put away wrapped in plastic bags. Mm-hmm. And as I got to know her, she started giving me her clothes. We were the same size. So she started giving me some of her outfits, beautiful jackets. And, oh, my gosh, it was like the Lord just flooded me with, you know, gifts from this woman. So she became my spiritual mother. And so, ladies, you know, if you're open to that, to be a spiritual mother to somebody, or you need a spiritual mother, don't hesitate to pray to the Lord, because He will bring that person into your life. Anyway, as I continued to go to the singles, I met David. I had been there for a while, and then he started coming. David is my husband now. And so there's where I met him. There was something different about him. What really stood out to me was when he invited me to grad night. We had been there a while, and he was a teacher. So he needed a date, and I guess his sister didn't want to go. And he wasn't really, like, asking all the women there, but he decided to come and ask me, oh, you know, do you want to go to grad night? And I thought, I looked at him, I go, wow, he's, like, maybe 15 years younger than I. But he wasn't. He just he has this young face. Okay. He's already 60. He has no gray hair. It's in the genes. But anyway, he wasn't. He wasn't older than, or younger than me. So then I decided, well, yeah, I guess I'll go. And what stood out about that situation was that when we went, we had to go on the bus with all the students. And I guess what happened was a couple of the boys had got into the bus and they had been drinking. So he didn't, well, we didn't notice that. We're supposed to kind of monitor that, but we didn't notice that. So when we got on the bus and we were driving to Disneyland, one of the students came to David and says, Mr. Mestis, one of the boys is throwing up on his chair. So he was like throwing up on himself. And then another boy started throwing up. And then another boy. So what really stood out was David went, he got some whatever, paper towels or whatever, and he cleaned them up. He did not get angry. He did not burst out in any kind of rage. So I thought, wow, you know, this man is different, because my husband would burst out in rage, you know. And so I thought, wow, then with my sons, I mean, he'll be this way, right? He'll take care of them without this anger issue or whatever. But anyway, that really stood out. But most importantly, when I introduced him to Hester confirmed that he was someone special, that he had a heart for God, and God showed me that he did have a heart for the Lord. David and I spent a lot of time together. We were both involved in singles ministry. My sons felt very happy around him. So in 1985, he asked me to marry him, and then in 1986, we were married. We have a very blessed marriage. We've gone through some ups and downs, just like all marriages do, but we've always kept the Lord in the center of our lives. God continues to bless our marriage. David has had a tremendous impact in our son's life, Eric and Sean. He has really been a blessing to them. My sons now have their own lives and their own families. They have had their own challenges, but God spared them from the path that their dad took. And that was the main thing I wanted. I didn't want them to grow up and be like their dad was. And so they are not. They're wonderful men. They, you know, have their lives. They have their jobs. They have their families. And so David was a blessing to them. And between David and I, the Lord blessed us with our two sons. So I have the two other sons. Jonathan and Nathaniel. So we have the four sons, and they both love the Lord, and they will, you know, continue to serve the Lord. They do love the Lord. So
as I continued to, as we continued in our lives, we, you know, had been in a lot of ministries like Jennifer shared. But as I want to go back, as I shared about not smiling, I have something that I want to share with you. And it's a picture, and it was the day of my wedding. I wasn't in my wedding dress, but I was getting ready to go. And I just want to share with you the smile that I had. And in the background, you'll see clear. It's a little small, but Hester's is the background. And so I just want to pass this around so you can see it. And I have a short, kind of short poem that I want to share as I pass it around. So I'll stop with this. Thank you. And then the poem is called This Joy That I Have. Oh, this joy that I have, this joy that fills my heart, this joy that keeps me smiling, this joy that picks me up when I'm down, this joy that never ends, this joy that my heart sings about, this joy that makes me clap my hands and dance all around, this joy that inspires me, this joy that the world can never take, this joy that never asks for a price, this joy that fills my soul, this joy that sets me free from all my worries, this joy that I can't explain. Oh, this joy, the joy of the Lord. And ladies, I have just one more scripture before I close. And I just the Lord had just given me this one this morning. And I know He wanted me to share this one. It's called Lamentations 3, 22 through 23. It is because of the Lord's loving kindness that we are not consumed, because His compassion never fails. They are new every morning. Great and beyond measure is His faithfulness. And God was faithful to me. And ladies, thank you for listening to my testimony. And I invite you guys to do it. Thank you. I'd like to close in prayer, just thanking the Lord for just His wonderful mercies. Heavenly Father, we just thank You so much, Lord, that You are an awesome God, that You are a God that knows our hearts, and sometimes we feel lost, sometimes we feel alone, sometimes we feel afraid, Lord, but You're always there, Lord, and we thank You. We thank You for Your word tonight, through my testimony. I pray that You be with each and every woman as they go home, that You would continue to speak to their hearts and draw them closer to You, Lord, that they would see the importance of Your word and how beautiful and wonderful Your word is, Lord God. I pray that You would continue to mold us and make us into the women that You've called us to be, Lord, that You would continue to guide our every step, continue to bless the women's ministry, that You would find a place for each and every one of us, Lord, to serve You, to honor You, and glorify You, Lord. And we thank You, Lord, in Jesus' name.
You might have some questions for Teresa, and she'll be happy to share with you anything you'd like to know. And then tomorrow morning she'll be sharing her talk again with our Tuesday morning group. So if you're free and you want to come back, you can come tomorrow. If you know somebody who that fits better for their schedule, please feel free to invite them. But I'm sure, like I've said before, anytime someone shares, you're oftentimes thinking, oh, if only so-and-so could have heard this. So that's why we record the talks. They're on our podcast. And then next week, when we get together, our very special closing coffee talk will be an opportunity for each of us to think about our own story. And I'll be sharing about how to bring that together and how to glorify God in your story. And you might be thinking, I don't know, I have a story. You know, I didn't live a life of crime. I didn't do that. I will teach you how to make stuff up then. We're going to have a really special, unique time together in God's Word and fellowshipping and sharing and encouraging with one another. And so what I'd like to encourage you to do is to go back through the podcasts, some of them are on YouTube. No, they're all on podcast. Go back through the podcast and listen again to some of the gals share their story. Or if you missed any of them, go back. Just scroll through and find the names of the gals that you don't recognize and want to hear their story. And go back and listen to those before next week.
Yeah.
So a couple quick reminders again. Before we close, don't forget to RSVP if you're coming to the book club get-together, our brunch on Saturday. I'd love to have you. Just get the flyer off of the welcome table out there. And then
That's it. That's all of our announcements.
Wonderful. Thank you again, Teresa, for sharing your story. And one of the things also I just want to key into before we leave is how I saw a direct correlation between your sense of hope when you're in the Word. And we've said one thing here in Coffee Talk and Bible Study is we really want to encourage women to be in the Word. So if you're sitting there and you're one of those women who shows up each week to Bible Study and you haven't done any Bible Study and you're like, I kind of feel guilty, but I don't know what to do about it. Should I say anything? I don't know. We've all been there. I get it. But if you've heard one thing over and over again, the key in our women's stories is then in the Word, getting and hearing from God. And so if you're still not there and you're not sure what is going on and how to make that happen, ask. You can ask me, you can obviously ask Teresa, any one of the small group leaders would love to share with you some practical things. Because sometimes it's just kind of gets down to some practical stuff. You know you need to be in the Word. No one's out there like, I do not need the Word. No one is in the hearing of my voice is actually thinking that. I'm praying against that right now. So it's likely that you're just, I'm just so busy, my life is this, and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, blah, blah, blah. Y'all brushed your teeth this morning. Why? Because you value your teeth.
Yes.
You weren't in the Word this morning. Why? You don't value the Word. Bottom line, there it is. So make it happen. If you're not sure how to do that, you're still struggling with that, there is no one who'd be like, oh, you haven't been in the Word? Because we've all been there. Raise your hand. How many of you have been like a week, a day, or two, or 12? And you're like, oh my gosh, my Bible is still where I left it last week after church on Sunday. Been there, done that. So we want you in the Word, and we want to help. Because it's one thing to say, be in the Word. It's another thing to say, let's do it together. Let's learn how to do it. So don't be that person there sitting like, this one's going to judge me if I admit I'm not in the Word. I don't even know how to do it. Be that person that says, maybe there's a prize if I admit to somebody that I'm not in the Word.
That'd be great.
All right, fine. The first 10 people who call me and say, I'm not in the Word and I want to know how, I have a prize for you. All right, on that note, prizes, that's a great way to end the day. Maybe it's a trip to Hawaii. You'll never know. You'll never know until you call me and then you'll be sadly disappointed. No, it'll be something amazing, like a happy one. All right, God bless you. Have a great rest of your day and night. And I will see you tomorrow morning because who wouldn't want more of that, right? Good night, ladies. Yes.